A reading from Philippians 2:19-30. Timothy and Epaphroditus. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed he was ill, and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
Morning. Wow, what a lovely passage that's just been read to us. Like, just hearing it read out and the affection in which Paul talks about these two men is quite touching. And so we're going to go into a bit more detail about that. But I just want to share again one of my favorite verses. I think every time I come up here, I've shared it so far. And seeing that we're talking about love and Valentine's, just put in your head 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not does not know God, because God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. And I just want that to be a real focus today, and even in how we approach this passage. But before I start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your love for us and for the lengths that you have gone to show us how much you love us and how important we are to you. And I pray that as I speak today, that you will just reach out and speak to everyone listening. Pray that you get rid of all distraction. And I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and our ears to what you have to say for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, I think we spoke about Timothy, and there was real focus on encouragement and thinking of people who have encouraged us and ways which we can encourage other people and how we have been influenced by people. And I just want to continue that thread. But the aim is to get you all thinking about what it is that you can do to be an encouragement and to progress in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought it was brilliant doing that little activity about worthy and really thinking about what does it mean to be worthy. And I loved Joy's question, do you think you're worthy? Because I think you are. And I'm hoping that by the end of this, you will have that assurance that you are. And any of those questions that you may have of, oh, can I do it? Should I put myself forward? Is God really asking me to do this? Will be dissipated into a resounding yes. Yes, he is. Yes, I can. We can do this. And I hope that you will see from just how short this passage is for Timothy and Epaphroditus, but just how filled with such love and affection it is an example of how the smallest thing you can do can have such reaching effects. Timothy, we know a bit more about. There's two letters that were written to him in the New Testament, and that he wrote. Written to him. I suddenly had a moment of what? No, written to him, and like there's lots of good advice that's given in there. But it shows just how Timothy was a leader in the church and the things that he was able to do. And he was considered as a son to Paul. And I like the things that Paul points out about Timothy. No one else like him. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not for those of Jesus Christ. And if you know anything about Paul, his focus is on Christ. All his books are just talking about in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. He was totally taken up by spreading the gospel of Christ. And so the things that were important to him, the characters and the values that he picked up on people were to furthering Christ. The book of Philippians was written when he's in jail because he's been arrested for spreading this gospel of Christ. And yet his attitude towards it is of, in chapter 1, I think it has been spoken about, Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He's excited because now the whole palace guard is talking about Christ, right? Or knows that that's the reason he's in there. And even when he talks about some people have been talking about Christ in a way that is more for their own selfish ambition, he still turns it around to say, whatever the reason, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. That is his focus. That is his life's mission. And he points out here that Timothy doesn't work for his own interests, and he works for the interest of Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we are afraid to do things, or we try to think, oh no, I'm not worthy of doing something in church or in the community because I have to be like Paul, I have to be like Jesus, I have to be like David, all the big names that we think of. But actually, the thing that God is most important about is, do you have the mind of Christ? And are you working to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that's something that I think Paul found really affectionate about Timothy, and even said that he was like a son to him and has worked alongside him and has been a real comfort to him. And even with when he speaks about Epaphroditus, I keep reading that name like, what, Epaphroditus? We don't know much about him, but we know that he was sent from the church of Philippi with all the food and money and collection to help Paul, and the way Paul talks about him again with just, oh, I love it. I'll read it again. He says, he's my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. And even just how he describes him, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Like, there's even that selflessness of him wanting to go back to Philippi to show everyone, no, I'm okay. Like, you're ill. You almost died. And the thing that you're concerned about is going back to be with, you know, your church family and to say that I'm okay. That just shows his selflessness. And this journey that he traveled in order for Paul to be able to have this provision just shows the extents in which he went through. And he's like, so therefore I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you cannot give me. Again, the focus, he almost died for the work of Christ. Like, Paul is all about, what are you doing for the work of Christ? And I just missed a part again that shows the love and affection towards him when he talks about, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow for when he was recovering. So there's just that affection of, yes, he didn't die, he was healed because God had mercy on him, but also on me because he's such a dear brother and fellow worker in Christ. So when I was preparing this and I was thinking, how can I talk about worthy workers and what is it I'm going to say? It was so hard for me to put it down in like a really succinct order of things. And so I'm going to let you in to the musings of Jenny now. And how she reflects upon things. And hopefully through this, you will be able to just think about the part that you can play in this wider journey of life that we have. I think that this series is really pertinent in what we're going through with just the pandemic and things not going the way we would have planned. It has gone on for ages. But even in it, God is still God. He is still good. He still has a plan that is to prosper us, that is for our future. And so how I'm going to illustrate this is by just taking you on a bit of a journey through the life of Jenny. So bear with me, because it will make sense in the end. Paul is one of my most favorite people in the Bible. I remember as a teenager just spending a lot of time reading the letters of Paul. My favorite two are Ephesians and Galatians. I just soaked it all up. And I think that's because it just gave me the foundation of grace and understanding what grace is and understanding the part that faith had to play with regards to the law. Paul, for me, through his writings, gave me the picture of Christ and helped introduce me to Christ. And when I was reflecting on this, I thought, how strange, because you'd have thought that reading the Gospels would have done that, reading about Jesus. And yes, it did. But what I find really lovely, or what touched me about Paul, is that he was sent to send the gospel to the Gentiles. That's me. I'm a Gentile. And I'm so grateful that Paul had his conversion. He went from persecuting the followers of the way to being totally convinced that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. And he goes off to all the Jewish synagogues proving this. And he proves this as a man who is well qualified to do so. And I think later on it must be in Philippians that he actually shows that he is the Hebrew of all Hebrews, that he's just knows the law inside out. and through that was able to show that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah, and this is a message that needs to go out to the Gentiles. And because it went out through the Gentiles, because of Paul's obedience to the message, people like Timothy and Epaphroditus was able to catch that message and work towards it to spread it further. And because of the obedience of Timothy and Epaphroditus, it was passed on from generation to generation to generation until we're standing here today. Me impacted by the obedience and the courage of individuals like Paul, like Timothy, like Epaphroditus, for catching this word, for allowing it to ignite them and going deeper into what does this message mean, and being able to suffer persecution and ridicule and fear of death so that the world will know about Jesus Christ. That for me is such an amazing message. And if I think of what could have happened if Timothy was like, oh no, I'm not worthy, I am not a full Jew, so I'm just going to sit back. What would have happened? I mean, God still works, but he was so ignited by the message and took time to learn from Paul and to feed on it and to establish the early church and to have that leadership going that we are standing here today. And so then I take this a step further and I think of my own genealogy, my own history. I don't know how to explain it. I come from a missionary family through and through. My parents are missionaries in Kenya. My dad's parents were missionaries. And I think it's something that I took for granted because I was surrounded by it. But there's been a lot of things, I think, even in this past year that just makes you stop and reflect on things in a way that I guess we've been too busy to do before, or just haven't been able to appreciate it in the same light. So when I was thinking about worthy workers and what that means, I just thought of my own life and the impact that people have had on it from just doing really simple things that they may not have even known had an impact on me. But I'm telling you other reasons why I'm standing here today giving you a message about worthy workers. And I'm just going to go around in circles, but I'll get to the point. So if I just think about my family, so my dad's been doing a research on his family tree over the past few years, and he's got a lot of information now, a lot more on his mother's side, but he did a lot of research on his father's side. And April, I think, last year, I was talking to him about it, and I asked him to send me the documents just so that I had an idea of it. And it's really fascinating stuff. But the thing that moved me was when I read the section about my grandfather. And I think why it moved me is I never met him. He died before my parents were even married. So he was always a concept, didn't know him, and would just hear of him from things that would come up through my dad or my uncles. But then now when you see his life on paper, it just suddenly brought him to life, and it was no longer just a concept. You're like, oh my goodness, this was a human being who made decisions, who it brought it to life. And so the thing that was fascinating for me was he became a missionary in the 30s and went to Sudan. And he met my grandmother on furlough, who was also a missionary in Sudan. And then they go back to Sudan and they do this work. And if you go to South Sudan, especially in the Dinka area, and you mention my grandfather's name, they know him and they will tell you of the work that he has done and of just how he has established the church in that area, and really fond memories. And then you go to Louis and hear about what my grandmother did there. And what's so significant about Louis is it's near the area where my mother is from, Mundri, South Sudan. And I'm guessing that the impact of my grandparents' work had an influence on my father and his brother becoming missionaries. My uncle is a missionary in Uganda, but he's been all over East Africa. And like I said, Dad is. But he went to South Sudan, and that's where he met my mother. And because of that, I'm here today. But that's not the point I'm making about that. But just the things that were put into his life, into my father's life, really formed who he is today. And my father lives a very specific lifestyle that is totally focused on the call that he had how many years ago and the impact that he has had on the rural poor in East Africa can only come from having that inner knowing that what you're doing is for a greater cause. So didn't expect to plug this, but if ever you go to Kenya, look out REAP and see the work that's being done in Western Kenya. Because I underestimated it until I went and saw the impact that it had on people. And I was like, oh, this is just my dad. But to other people, this is Dr. Roger, who has done all this work that has just helped improve lives. And I'm just trying to show how we underestimate the impact of what we do has on life. Recently, there was on Facebook, it's all going to come together. I'm just going to talk like this, but it'll come together in the end. Recently on Facebook, there was a group that I saw my dad like to do with a man called Dr. Fraser. And he was the missionary to the Moru people, which is my mum's tribe in South Sudan. And Dr. Fraser is well loved in that part of South Sudan because he brought the gospel. And as a result, he was Scottish. As a result, my mother loves the Scottish because of Dr. Fraser. And there's a way that my mum talks about Dr. Fraser, a person that I never met, but has had such an impact on who my mother is today. Because of Dr. Fraser's obedience, he went out and he preached the gospel in South Sudan, and it impacted my mother's mother, my grandmother, and that impacted my mother. And my mum was a youth leader in her church, and she has impacted lots of Moru people, and she impacted me through the life that she lived. And I am standing here today because of the choices that my father and my mother made that was influenced by people who made choices before them. There are things that you are doing today that you think are small but have great impact. And there's something that God is stirring in you. I know it. That might cause fear and uncertainty, and you might think, oh, is that for me to do? But I encourage you to do it, because you don't know what impact that's going to have on that area, on that child, on that person's life that might lead to having an impact on a whole country, a whole generation. Timothy and Epaphroditus saw something in Paul that they wanted to support and uphold. Not all of us were called to be Pauls. Not all of us are called to be missionaries, by the way. That's not the point that I'm making, in case you're afraid that you're going to be sent off to a far-off land. But all of us are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that is by seeing something that's going on at New Hope and wanting to prop it up, do it with courage and conviction, because you don't know the impact it's going to have. The first song that I ever sang in front of a big crowd, I was about Jess's age, and it was called "I Am Just a Little Girl Who Can Change the World, Because Jesus Made a Change in Me." I didn't know what I was singing at that time, but I was encouraged by my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Dodman, and I remember the audition feeling really dizzy doing it. I felt like I was about to fall off the stage. I did not know the impact that that song had, but for years to come, people would be like, "Oh, Jenny, you're the one who sang 'I'm Just a Little Girl Who Can Change the World.'" And it was me and a little boy. So he sang, "I'm just a little boy, you can change the world." And then the choir, "We are just a bunch of kids that can change the world." And a lot of us in that Sunday school, if you see the things that the people we have become today and the things that we are doing, Mrs. Dodman didn't know the impact of getting me to sing on that stage and what that would do. The kindness that she showed in helping me not be afraid of animals. Walking home from church one Sunday, and I was so scared of a gecko. And Mrs. Dodman was like, "No, this is God's creation. Don't be afraid." And she lovingly and gently gave me the courage to have this chameleon. It wasn't a gecko, chameleon, walk on my hand. And I was terrified, still am. But I just remember the gentleness in which she approach that situation. She doesn't know the impact that she had on my life. And there are lots of people like that who have formed who I am today, who have poured into me, who have taught me without knowing that they've taught me, who've held my hand without knowing that they've held my hand. And they have been a part of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week we were talking about who are the people who have encouraged you, who are the people that inspire you, and challenge that it goes both ways, whether you're young or old, we both have a part to, that we can both learn. Because of Paul's obedience, the gospel went out to the Gentiles. Because of Timothy's obedience and Epaphroditus' obedience, the gospel went out to the Gentiles. It came trickling down to me because of decisions that my parents made, my grandparents, and so forth. It trickled down to who I am today. Even me being at New Hope is because of people that have come alongside me and shown kindness and have shown support. I don't want to name them because if I do, I might cry or I might forget someone and it would just be really messy, and it's not just about me. But I just want to encourage you. Is there something God is laying on your heart for even now or for when the church is going to open up? You have this thing, you can feel it, it's flipping inside of you, and you're like, "No, because that's for Joy to do. That's for the more outspoken people. I don't know, that's for Titch to do because he's confident. That's for Tony to do because he's technical. That's for," you name it. I want to challenge you and say, No, that's for you to do, because you don't know the impact that that's going to have in weeks and months and generations to come. So before I end, I just want to take a moment for us to really reflect on that. What impact has what I said had on you? Have you felt anything? If you have, don't shy away from that. Bring it to God. Has it brought so many thoughts into your mind? Still those thoughts and bring it to God. Does your stomach feel knotted up? Are you feeling hot and bothered? Has it produced cynicism in you? Where you're like, that's okay for you to say, Jen, you're from a missionary family, doesn't apply to me. What's that about? Ask God about that. Has it brought fear? Fear of what? Not being good enough? Of not being worthy? If we look at the words that came up with being worthy, I love the fact that none of them have to do with a skill set, an educational background, nothing to do with coming from this area or being skilled and talented of this. It's about a state of heart, about being willing, hardworking, obedient, open, risk taker, reliable, ready, trustworthy, tenacious, thought through, tender, team worker, honorable, humble, honest, yourself. What has God put in your heart that you're afraid to do? Or that you are already doing but don't give yourself enough credit for? Praying is such an important thing that has uplifted me in so many ways. My mum prays for us every single day, and she has no idea the impact that it's had on us. Saying a kind word, giving a meal that you think is no big deal but is made with love, standing by somebody through a difficult situation, even just sitting next to someone who is hurting. Amen.